Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you again for your grace and your mercy and your love. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you'd speak through me, Lord, and that you'd use this message today to speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, that we'd remember the true reason for everything that we do is for Jesus. Lord, I just wish we would remember that and that all of us would come to praise Him and to know Him as Lord and Savior. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at James 2 today, called The Test of Impartiality or The Sin of Partiality. It's James 2, 1 through 13 is what we're going to be looking at. Impartiality is to be intolerant, prejudiced, racial, biased, to have any kind of look down on people for any reason whatsoever. You know, in the first century A.D., you were either Jew, Greek, Gentile, poor, rich, slave, free. And part of the reason Jesus came. Now, I know the Jews, that they used to pray three things every day, and one of those things they prayed that they weren't a woman, because they didn't want to be a woman. I mean, even women were looked down, and that's another thing that people have a problem with. So the reason Jesus came, he came to break down those social barriers, because he said, and as Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, he said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there's neither male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. You know, but it took a while for this truth to sink in, that the reality of it. Because Christians, you know, we're people too, and we have a hard time sometimes grasping things, and we have to get rid of all those prejudices and the things that we were taught and the way we grew up. Even Peter, the Apostle Peter, he had to have a vision and a dream and a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to convince him. It was in Acts 10:34-36, and then Peter said, he opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness, he is accepted by him. Hear that, he says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So Jesus Christ loves all of us. He's Lord of all. Whether we recognize Him or not, He is Lord. And He's going to be Lord. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you've confessed Him here on this earth or whether you confess Him one day on the way to hell, you're going to confess Him as Lord. So based on this second chapter, apparently partiality and favoritism was prevalent, just like it is today. You know, and the sinfulness of it needed to be pointed out. Now, I want you to make sure that you heard that. You said the sinfulness of favoritism, partiality, bias, prejudice, that needed to be pointed out. And that's why James wrote this section of Scripture. It's a lot like us today. Anybody doesn't look like us, dress like us, act like us, live like us. A lot of times we want to judge people. And that's pretty bad, because we don't need to do that. Amen. And if we were like Christ Jesus, we wouldn't do that. Because, you know, it's this Christmas season, and, you know, we think about it. And I was thinking about that on the way over here, and it says that the angels went and announced themselves to Jesus, to the shepherds out in the field, right? And when the tomb was rolled back, the stone was rolled back, and the first people that saw that Jesus Christ had risen and he showed himself to were women. See, back in those days, like I said, women were treated like second-class citizens. And people beat up on Paul and say he's a male chauvinist pig. But actually, when Christ came, he gave us all equal rights. The shepherds, what I understand, is they couldn't even witness at that time that they were such lowly people. They were thought of as stupid, and they did these menial tasks. And they were thought of so low that if 20 of them went to court and said they saw you doing some crime or something that was wrong, you couldn't be convicted. They'd throw it out of court because they didn't trust their witness and women. But yet, where did Jesus always go to? Who did he always go to? He always went to the lowly, to the poor, to the handicapped, the blind, the epileptic, the paralytic, the lowly people, the tax collectors, the people that everybody despised. He always went to them. And that's one reason the scribes and the Pharisees hated him so much, is because he was always hanging out with sinners, as they called it. Church is not a place for people that are righteous. Church is a place for people that are sinners. And it's a hospital for sinners. And we're all here because we all need something, and that's Jesus Christ. We just don't, we need not to be partial, show favoritism, any of that to anybody. We even know from the scriptures that the Jewish Christians often show partiality to the Gentiles. And then there was the hated Samaritans. The Jews were always hated those. That was a mixture of the Jews and the Gentiles that had intermarried. And they were hated and despised and looked down on. But in this passage of Scripture, the problem was between the rich and the poor here. But like I said, we can also be guilty by judging between the rich and the poor, looking at people based upon their clothing, because of they're a different race, different color, because of people have handicaps, the way they look, or maybe because they're sick and we don't want to be around them. And then also, if somebody has committed a crime or they've had a life that was bad in the past, they were a prostitute or something that was looked down on, but yet they've reformed. Or, you know, you look down the street and you might see the guy with green hair and earrings and nose rings and everything else. But all those people need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we need to remember that we're all people, we all have hearts, and we all need the love of God. We all need Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to remember every time we see one of those people, whether they're a different color, got long hair, short hair, whatever it is, it makes us automatically want to think and want to judge, because every one of us do it. Every single one of us. Every day we do it in some way, shape, or form. Whether we're saved or not, we do it. And we're going to continue to do that until we see Jesus. But we need to remember that we're all people. We're all of the same blood. And if we're Christians, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what we look like, no matter what color we are. It doesn't matter. We need to love each other.
Amen.
He says that in Psalms 139, 21 and 22, he says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, who hate you, and do not I loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." This here is not saying he hates sinners, but he hates the sin. We need to hate the sin and love the sinners. And godly hatred is marked by hating the sin and being grieved because you see somebody committing something, doing something that you know is wrong. That's godly hatred. It's a hatred of sin and wrong because God hates it. But we don't hate that person because we did it. They did it. But we have a sorrow for them. We need to feel sorry for people that are trying to hurt us. We need to feel sorry for people that are doing things that are wrong, people that don't know the Lord.
Amen.
And we don't need to hate them because they're doing stuff to us. But we need to remember that they are in the same condition maybe we used to be. Or, but by the grace of God, there go I, because we could have been there. You know, any of us is capable of anything at any given time, but by the grace of God, He holds us back from some things. Unfortunately, partiality, favoritism, discrimination, it's probably more prevalent today than it ever been, maybe just because of the fact that we have more people in the world, if nothing else. That's why James wrote this epistle, and we need to look at this, and we're going to First of all, notice that why Christians can't show partiality. And that's in verse 1 through 3, it says, we see that faith does not show partiality because, he says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Because Jesus Christ is a glorious Lord. He's glorious. He's powerful. He's mighty. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He can see everything. He knows everything. He can do anything. And He's glorious. It says in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before Him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. You see, God is merciful. He's gracious and He's good to us, even though we don't deserve it. And one day we're going to see Him in that glory. You remember, I think this was when in Exodus 34, and Moses, he hit him in the cleft of the rock because he couldn't even look upon His glory because He was so holy. And he said, I can cover you with my hand and turn away and you can just see my hind parts, you know, just a little bit of the glory that I have, because if you look on me, you die, because I'm so holy, and anything that's not perfect can't look on God. God is a glorious God. Jesus Christ is a glorious Lord. He says that as Christians, our goal is to imitate Christ, to be like Christ. And it says in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You see, if we go around discriminating, showing favoritism, and treating people like that, then people are going to think that's what Christ is like. They're going to think that's what this Bible teaches. And then they'll never be one to the Lord because of our testimony, because of the way we act. And we can't be acting like that. So faith doesn't show partiality. You know, he says in, what was it, Matthew 5:24, let's look at that, that he accepted all people. People knew that they could come to him. Even, you remember, the little children came to him. The disciples wanted to run the little children off, but they felt comfortable coming to him. And he says, suffer not the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. It's made up of people who are like little children. And they're made up of little children also. So in Matthew 5:24, he says, is that right? That ain't right, is it? Oh, well, I got the wrong verse there. But anyway, it talked about he healed the paralytics, and that I was thinking about the lepers, and all those people came to him. You know, the woman that had been bleeding for 3 years, she touched the hem of his garment. And people talked to him and came to him because they knew they could. Don't we want to be the kind of people that people know that they can come to us because we're open? We're approachable. We want people to be able to say, that person has a heart for other people. He has a love for other people. He's willing to give of his life. He's willing to do for others. And yeah, that opens you up to be vulnerable. That opens you up for people to take advantage of you. And guess what? People are going to. But you know what? That shouldn't stop us from loving people, from taking care of people and doing what we're supposed to do. And there's going to be a few people that are going to take advantage of us. But we need to continue to do that anyway. We need to love people and show the love of God. He says in verse 2, for if there should come into assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man with filthy clothes. And he says in verse 3, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you shall sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. He says in verse 4, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? No matter what somebody looks like, no matter how richly they're dressed, no matter how poor they look, no matter how sick they are, you know, we need to try to do something for them if we can, because we need to love everybody. Because Jesus Christ came to love everybody, and He did love everybody that came to Him, and He took care of all of them. And the second thing that we want to see here is that faith does not judge in verses 4 through 7. And that's what we just read. He says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You know, when we have evil thoughts about people, it's They say this is better translated, judges with evil intentions. And that's what usually what we do is we judge people. We get self-righteous and we judge people based on their appearance because, you know, we think their clothes aren't just right or they don't have on the right shoes or they don't have the latest fashion label on or, you know, whatever, driving the nicest car. And maybe they're driving a rag car. And we think, well, we think bad of them. But you know, there's some really good people that drive them rag cars and wear them rag clothes. And there's some people that need Jesus that are wearing those things and doing those things. And just the same, that man, just because he's rich and drives a Mercedes or Rolls Royce or whatever, one of those brand new cars, doesn't mean that he doesn't need Jesus. And we can't treat him any better or any worse than the rest of the people. Because one day we're going to be judged by our words, by our actions, and by our attitudes. And that includes our thoughts, too. We're going to be judged by that. How we did things, why we did certain things. It says in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be judged. And a lot of people misinterpret that verse to say, we can judge people by their fruit. And the Bible says to do that. That, you know, we can be a fruit inspector and we can say, you know, well, if somebody's supposed to be a Christian and they're not doing what they're supposed to, we can make some judgments based on that. As long as that judgment is not a self-righteous, I'm better than you are judgment. And that's where we need to look at and remember there's a difference, because when we go to judging that way, that's when we have a problem because we think we're better than somebody else. But if we're making a judgment to help somebody or to see where they're really truly at or maybe to confront something, you know, that's another thing. But to be self-righteous, that's wrong, that's sin. So he says in Matthew 7:12, therefore whatever you want men to do to you, also do to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Amen.
That's the golden rule. You know, in the Pharisees and scribes, in most places where the golden rule was used, that was even around before, I guess, the Bible was even written. They say it was usually translated negatively. That, in other words, it was written, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. But the Bible turns around and says, do unto others what you want to do unto you. So it becomes a positive command that we want to do good unto others so they'll do good unto us. And that's not our reason for doing good. But if you do good, just like that corn, you know, I've said before, that whatever man sows, he reaps. And if we give out good, we get back good. And if we give out bad, get bad back. And like I said before, one kernel of corn, you throw it out there and you get a whole bush. You know, you throw out one kernel, get a lot bad back. So, you know, we need to watch that. We need to watch how we treat people. Now let's look at verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? Listen to what he says now. He says, has he not chosen the poor of the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? You know, if we judge against the poor and have prejudice against them and treat them bad, we're going to find ourselves fighting against God, because God says he's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, have eternal life. That's pretty good, isn't it? Jesus went to everybody, and he was there for everybody. It says in Psalm 109:31, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. We know that the gospel was proclaimed to the poor. Let's look at Luke 4:18. He says in Luke 4:18, well, I thought I had it, Luke 4:18. Now this is when Jesus was in the synagogue and his parents had left him when he was about 13 years old. They came back looking for him later, and he was in the synagogue reading. Just so happened that the book was opened up, the Bible was opened up that day to the place, and he says where he opened it, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he turned around and he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant. And then a couple of verses later he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So that's what Jesus said he came to earth to do. And that was a fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah. So just remember, just like God said he was looking out for Israel, he's looking out for the poor also. And Jesus, like I said before, he went to all the so-called lowlifes of society, no matter who they were. Zacchaeus was a tax gatherer. Matthew was one of his disciples. He was a tax gatherer. He had probably had some shepherds with him. I know he had the fishermen. These people weren't educated people. They weren't highfalutin people. He used these people to show the power of Christ and what he could do through people. It says in Luke 7:22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus loves all the people, every one of us. And it's up to us to trust him as Lord and Savior if you haven't, because he loves you. He also says that the majority of people that responded were from the poor. Listen at this now. And I think of myself when I come to this verse here, or these verses rather. It's 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Amen. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." You see, God has chosen the weak things, the despised things. And that's why a lot of people say they don't want to be a Christian, because they don't want to be looked at as despised. They don't want to looked at as goody-two-shoes. They don't want to be looked as a fuddy-duddy that doesn't have any fun. Christians have fun just like anybody else. It's a different kind of fun, but it's a good kind of fun. It's not fun that messes up other people, hurts other people, maybe even kills other people. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. So the next time you think that there's something that God's given you to do and you don't think you're good enough to do it, just remember, God wants your availability, not your ability. And he can use you just like he's used many people that were weak and not powerful. And he can use you too to fulfill your purposes. You just need to step out and be ready and be available. In verses 6 and 7 he says, "But you have dishonored a poor man, but do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called?" You see, these people were honoring the same people that were the most capable and likely to oppress them, the people that were oppressing them at that time. These people were dishonoring them, taking their lands, oppressing them, treating them badly, but yet they were taking them to court. But yet these same people were honoring them by giving them best seats in the house. Remember the scribes and the Pharisees, they were always fighting for the best seats in the synagogue. They wanted that best seat because they thought they deserved that seat. But a true humble person would let somebody else sit in those seats. See, the rich were treating the Christians bad, and the poor bad in those days. And they're probably the same ones that may be treating us bad today. They're the ones that have the resources to do it anyway. They're the ones that have the money to sue you, to drag you into court, and to give you a hard time if they want to. And a lot of times we catch a lot of flack from the rich. They're the ones that have the businesses that are not paying the laborers the fair wages, that are not treating their workers fairly. And I'm not saying this to everybody, but sometimes, you know, Jesus gave the rich a hard time, because most of the time the rich are not the people that can find the kingdom of God. They said it's harder for go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to get in heaven. because they think they have it all. They think they've arrived because they've got everything they think they need for this world. And when they get to the top of that ladder after having all that, they find there's nothing there. But Jesus Christ is the only way. You know, they find out that they're still empty, but they still keep searching, getting more money, doing more things. But they can't never find what they really want because Jesus is the only way they're going to find true happiness.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.